Okay, so mine had a lot to do with the table. My family, we ate a lot of our dinners together. I don't remember almost any night that we didn't have our dinners together when I was growing up. So they were a lot of table manner ones. Like, for some reason, we were a sing-songy family. So one of the rules was don't sing at the table, which is so random. Like, we were just the Von Trapp family singers, I guess. So we would just sing too much. Also, my grandma, this is my grandma. She hated it that we were too short, so we would kick the chairs under the table all the time. And so she would threaten us that she was going to duct tape our legs to the chairs. And we never tested that because she had a story that she actually did that once. And my mom's like, I don't think she ever really did that. But we were always like, so scared to get our legs duct taped. And then, so this is just a funny picture of my family looking like we hate being at the table, but that was like 20 years ago or something. And I got in my first big trouble because somehow there was spitting at the table. And my dad said, no spitting at the table. And there are four kids, all of us. And I just looked at him and I just spit. He was like, okay. And I was like little. So it was like the first time I remember getting in big trouble was because Julie spit at the table. Oh. So, all right. So we're talking about this today because it's a stretch. We're talking about forgiveness. So I'm hoping that whatever rules you followed or didn't follow, your parents forgive you for that now, and you can move on. That's the point of forgiveness, is that you can move on and release that. I wanted to ask, like, what's the worst thing you ever did to someone, and have they forgiven you? But it's not as fun of a question, so we decided not to go there. But today we're learning about forgiveness, and there are two sides of forgiveness. There is being forgiven and forgiving. And the reason I chose this is because, well, usually when I preach, I don't know if you've noticed, but Jeff has these amazing service sermon series, and sometimes I get to talk in the middle of those, like when he's done with one and we move on to another. We call it a one-off. And so I was thinking a lot about what God wanted me to say to all of you. And of course, it was something that I struggle with, forgiveness. And also, very randomly, the kids that I'm usually in charge of, I'm the children's pastor, all month the older kids are learning about forgiveness. So I have been swamped with the idea of forgiveness for the past couple weeks as I've been planning for their month. I've been coming up with crafts and activities and games to teach forgiveness. And so we're actually going to do one of the experiments that the kids and I are doing. And I just feel like God wants us this month, all of us, all ages, to focus on what it means to be forgiven and to forgive. So we have kind of a chicken and the egg situation here, where in order to be forgiven, you have to forgive, and then to forgive, you have to be forgiven. So it's a cycle. It's a circle. It goes round and round. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So let's pray, and we'll dig right in. Lord, I just thank you so much for this group of people and how awesome they are, and just the way that you've blessed us in our lives. And I pray that you would teach us today how to be forgiven and fully accept that, and also how to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen. So I usually have three questions I ask when I do preach, and they are always what, why, and how. So this week we have two sides to every one of those questions. So what does it mean to be forgiven, and what does it mean to forgive? We have why does it matter that we're forgiven, and why should we forgive? And then how are we forgiven, and how do we forgive? So it's a little bit, it's just two-sided. We got to make sure we get them all. So what is forgiveness? And the best way I could think of was just to use what I've been looking at with the kids all month. Every time we start class, we have a little video that they watch, and they learn about a big topic. So this time it's forgiveness, and this is what it says in their video this week. Forgiveness is defined as this. First, it tells you how to pronounce it, forgiveness, which I like. Deciding that someone who has wronged you doesn't have to pay. Now, that's a really great way to explain that to kids. But if you look at all the words, they are so weighty. So deciding that someone who has wronged you, so wronged you when you're five, might be somebody that didn't want to play house with you on the playground. But when you're wronged as an adult, it carries a little bit more weight. Either way, I love this very clear sentence that someone who has wronged you doesn't have to pay. And the key for me is the word deciding. So you are choosing what you're going to do in this situation. Forgiveness is deciding. So forgiveness is choosing. It's a choice. So there's a couple things you're choosing to do when you forgive, and that is to release the need to let someone or something go. So you're letting it go, which is really tough. None of this is easy, by the way. I'm not telling you that at all. You're releasing the need for revenge. You are releasing the need for payback, and you are not punishing. You're not seeking punishment. All of those things are something you have to choose to do. They do not come easily. They are a choice. But then the other thing is, when you choose to do those things, forgiveness is power. So we all have this power to forgive. It is a huge responsibility. So we have the power to heal by forgiving. We have the power to give freedom. And we have the power of life change just by forgiving and for being forgiven. God shows us how to do this. It is not easy. But I know a couple of us are reading through the Bible all the way through this year, and some of us are taking a couple years to do it, which is awesome. And if you read the Bible all the way through, you notice that it is a story of God's forgiveness. That's what it's all about. So here's the Bible and God's forgiveness in a nutshell, okay? So first of all, in the beginning, he created us. And he was like, yeah, they're so great. They're so great together. And then he gave us one job, and we failed at it. So we completely messed up. And that was the end of perfect perfection. So we got to live. He didn't stop anything, but we got to leave the garden. And he let us be fruitful and multiply. And then we were so bad that we messed up again. So we started over. So then we have the ark. And he basically says, if you read Genesis, he says he regretted creating us because we were so terrible. From the beginning, we were murdering each other and being sexually immoral, and it was horrible. So he was like, okay, I have this one family. I'm going to let them live. But I want these people to do the right thing, so let's start over. So he started over, and within like 5 minutes after they get off the boat, Noah is drunk, and his kids see him naked, and it's all messed up again. We just can't get it right. And that time, God promised us, he would never destroy the earth again. So he kind of put himself back in a bind. He couldn't destroy us again. So he had to come up with another idea for how to forgive us, how we could have joy and peace and hope. So he brought us some rules. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He did not only give us the Ten Commandments. How far are you, Ashley? Are you in Leviticus yet? Okay, you're so lucky. You're still in the fun part. So I got to Leviticus. Leviticus is where all the laws are. This is my theory. If anyone in the world is reading the Bible in a year, we're all right now in the winter doldrums, and we're reading Leviticus. And like my whole mood is like, ugh, because there are so many laws. And that's all I'm reading every day. And the laws are there so we can live a joyful and perfect and happy life. But they are impossible to follow. And God figured that out because no one could do it right. And so he tried everything he could, and he had one last resort. And that was who? Jesus. So then this is what happens. God wants to forgive us. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to have an amazing life. He wants us to have eternal life with him. And the only way to do that was to give us Jesus. So we are forgiven constantly because Jesus came along. So Sam, let's see those verses. All right, so the only answer that worked was Jesus. And here's what these verses say. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So he loved us so much, he did not give up. He could have given up. We could all just be miserable right now. But no, we get to have Jesus. So it also says this one, and I'm sure you know this one, but no one ever reads the next verse, so I thought I would add the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So he could have made Jesus just yell at us a lot. That's not what he did. His son took all of our sins on himself so that we can be forgiven. So the whole Bible is about forgiveness. It's all about us who are terrible being forgiven. Our debt is totally paid. So that's what forgiveness is in general. So why is that important? So here's the, we're at the why now. In the middle, Sam, you can put that one up again. Okay, so why should we forgive? Why does it matter if we forgive or that we are forgiven? First of all, do we deserve it? No, not even a little bit. I don't know about you, but I know that I've had a lot of sin in my life, and I know that a lot of it has just happened this morning. And I know that I'm forgiven, and that is a huge thing. God loves us so much. He gives us freedom and forgiveness and a future. That's why forgiveness is so important. We are doomed, and God gives us hope. We're not stuck in our shame and our guilt and our sin. Being forgiven gives us a completely different view of the world and of God. That's why the next step is for us to forgive others. We have to be able to accept the fact that we are forgiven and then pass that on. We have to be able to forgive others because we don't deserve it and they don't deserve it. So then we can forgive. We're forgiven, we forgive others, God forgives us, we forgive others. It's a cycle. So what if we don't? What if we say, no, no forgiveness, I'm not doing it? What if we held on to grudges? What if we're waiting to get revenge? What if we punish ruthlessly until we're satisfied that the lesson was learned? That means that we miss the point. We are never truly allowed ourselves to understand what true forgiveness is if we're holding on to the bitterness and the anger that we have. We're missing the point. We're blocking the good, and we're holding on to the pain. It means that we hold ourselves and our pain more valuable to us than the freedom that we get to have. So we can't possibly forgive others. If we can't forgive, we can never be truly forgiven. It's not because God doesn't want to forgive us. It's because we're blocking it. We refuse to let him. And we refuse to understand the concept of grace. So there's no way we can do it for others. So on and on, we've broken the cycle. We can't forgive, so we'll never understand forgiveness, and we won't be forgiven, and on and on. We don't want that cycle. Which one is better? The good one, right? All right, so because I'm teaching children, we use a lot of stories. And one of those stories that's really important. Oh, I actually forgot to do our experiment. Let's do our experiment. Forgot to do it. Okay, so on your table, there is a plate. And it has a heart on it. All right. So the kids in the Sunday school are obsessed with experiments. They love it. All right, so also there's a cup full of water. So I want you to take the cup and pour the water onto the plate. It should just cover the plate. All right, got that? Okay. Now, the glitter is sin. And I know there are parents in this room that feel that way about glitter. It's shiny and it's beautiful, but it gets everywhere. And it is you're always finding it. And you have to try to avoid it at all costs. Even though, look, it makes everything fun and sparkly, just like sin. Sin is deceptive, it looks fun and sparkly, and it gets everywhere, and it makes everything yucky. Ugh. So, I actually love glitter, so I totally get it. All right, so we're going to shake some glitter on the plate. See how your heart is nice and clean now? Well, you're going to cover it with that glittery sin. All right, is it all covered up? Not too much, just shake, shake, shake. All right, now what I want you to do, there should be a little container on your table with dish soap in it. Just stick one somebody's finger, stick it in the dish soap, and then this is Jesus. Now just put your finger on the glitter, and what happens? Oh, that's the right reaction. The glitter just goes kapoosh, and it's gone, right? I mean, it goes to the edge of the plate, but the point is, what does Jesus do with our sin? He erases it. He wipes it off. And what's on your finger? The glitter. So who took the sin from us? Jesus. The end. Just kidding. All right. So, I mean, you get it, right? Jesus wipes our sins away immediately. And also, when we forgive, that's exactly what we're doing too. We're taking the glitter, we're taking the sin, and it's gone. Because we have the power to make that go away. All right? We're not holding on to it anymore. So the other thing that we do in our Sunday school classes is we hear a lot of stories, because that helps. And Jesus is so wonderful, and he completely knows that. So he told a lot of stories. So here's a story that's going to show us an example of what this looks like. So this is called The Unmerciful Servant. If you ever hear it, I'm sure that might be the title in the Bible. So honestly, not this one yet. You can keep going. All right, so this is in Matthew 18. This is not easy to read up here. So you might want to open your Bibles. There's a little bookmark even where the passage is so you can follow along. And we're going to read this together, okay? I'm going to read it from up here. All right. First of all, it starts with Peter asking Jesus about forgiveness. And this is how it goes. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And Peter's like, "Please just say 7 times. Up to 7 times? Like, oh, maybe is that it?" And Jesus says, "Nope. I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or some Bibles say 70 times 7. So don't ask a math person. 77 is not 70 times 7. That made my brain hurt. Different, what's that called? Translations. Different translations say different things. The point is, a lot of times. And then he gives them an example. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." What's that called? Forgiveness. Very good. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, and that was almost nothing compared to what he owed. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay him back.'" What's he asking for? Forgiveness. "But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw that what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master," ooh, tattletales, "everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured," yikes, "until he should pay back all he owed. 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.'" Okay, so the torture that I think God will do for us is exactly what I think. It's that it's a heart torture. It's like, I can't forgive you. You don't get it. And then we're in pain. That's the torture that he's talking about. We're not actually going to get beat up or put in jail. And God wants to forgive us. He is a good king. He wants us to be forgiven. But we have to show him that we get it. So this servant, it's pretty clear, right? Just not a fair system. The servant begs for mercy. The king gives him the mercy. Then he goes and treats another guy like total dirt, chokes him, You can't do that. I know there are people in your life that you want to choke right now. Don't even tell me you don't. I can think of 50 people I want to choke. That is not our job. Not 50, maybe. But that is not our job. Our job is to not do that. Our job is to forgive. So here's the thing. This is easy to understand. It's pretty clear, black and white. You didn't pay me back. I treated you like crap. And it goes on and on. In our lives, it definitely is not that easy. It's not that clear cut. I can think of many things that represent, that are represented in this story that are super subtle. Maybe you've been emotionally abused, physically abused. These are not things that are easy to put into a little story like this and tie a neat little bow around it. That's why this sermon is hard. That's why it's hard for me to teach the kids this, because this is a deep subject and there is deep pain. And asking you to just forgive and standing up here and trying to be light about it, I understand that it's really hard. But I feel like God wants us to hear it. He wants us to know that forgiveness is power. And if we are going to forgive those that are treating us like crap, and they may never be sorry. This guy was sorry. And maybe there are people in your life who are sorry and you just don't want to forgive them. I get it. But that means, do you really understand that you're forgiven? I need you to think about that. If you don't, what happens? It looks like this. We blow up the thing. So then that's when we need to look at that. The cycle is not only broken, it's like you're burning it up. You're saying, I don't need that. I'm going to hold on to everything that I'm mad about. I'm going to hold on to all the pain they caused me, and I'm going to let that fester instead of saying, that person was horrible to me, and I don't want them to have any power over me anymore. So I'm going to let them go. And normally when I stand up here, I do fun. Like, oh, it's fun. Let's talk about spending time with Jesus. Like, yay. This one for me is real personal and really hard. There have been things in my life that I can't even really tell you right now where I have had to forgive. And I have had such pain. I don't even really know how to say it. Like when I practice this, I don't really know how to tell you the pain that I've been through. And that we're not called to forgive and forget like they talk about in Survivor, like I'm never going to forget. It's okay to remember the bad things that happened to you so that they don't happen again. That's okay. It's not okay to hold on to them and let them eat you alive. It's not okay to think of a person that has wronged you and say over and over how much they hurt you, how much you hate them. That just makes you, your insides glittery. You look like it's a cancer. Don't do this. It's a time to let it go. And I can stand up here and say that to you because I have. There was a specific person. There have been specific people. Don't try to guess. But there have been a couple people in my life that have hurt me so badly. They broke me. I was broken. And here's how I fixed it. Here's how I forgave. I spent a lot of time with my therapist. And I am a verbal processor, so I talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And it would come out in my daily life. And finally, I was just ready to forgive. It is time to let go. So I talked to her, and she said, why don't you just sit quietly and think about that person? And I was like, no, barf, I'm not doing that. But I did, and I sat, and I thought about that person who hurt me so badly, one of many. And I remember that suddenly there was a vision in my brain. And my therapist was so sweet. She loves Jesus, and she just sat and watched me. And I was crying, like, without making sound, you know. And I saw the person, and I was looking at her, this person. And I started to get taller in my vision. I was getting taller, and they were getting smaller and cowering like this. And then suddenly there was a door. And you know when you stand by the door and you like peek over the door? So she was holding the door. And I just kept getting taller and walking toward the person in my head. And then suddenly they disappeared and the door slammed. And it was like the air changed. It was like there was a cloud over me, and it just like went away, like poof. And I, not a lot of things go poof in our lives. I'll just be honest with that. Don't look for a poof. But when you are trying to forgive, it is a miracle, and it can happen. And so how do we do it? Let's get to that part. I know there's probably a person in your brain right now that you cannot forgive. I have one, and I'm terrified. I want to hold the anger, don't you? Don't you just want to keep being angry because it's like that's fair, and you want them to hurt like you hurt? They will never hurt like you hurt. I'll tell you right now. If they're not sorry, they are not thinking about you. You are the last thing on their mind. You don't know. They don't care about you like this at all. I spent hours with my therapist. This person will never know that, ever. And I am free. And every time I think about this person, because I do, I can't drive around certain places. I can't think of certain things. That person pops right up. And immediately, the door slams again. And I can see that door slamming on that person. And I'm just like, woo! I'm free! That was embarrassing. I'm sorry, but I couldn't help it. This is what happens. Forgiveness is such a power. And so it doesn't have to look like this. Sam, go to the one where it's supposed to look like. What is it supposed to look like, Sam? Go to the one that looks right. There it is. Okay. This, where you, I forgive. I forgave that person. And now I have more people to try to forgive. But I understand that I need to be forgiven. And it is a beautiful cycle in my life. And I can sit with people who have pain, and I can say, Jesus loves you. Whatever you're feeling, let's just repent. So Sam, can you show me the verse? This is how to do it. Repent. The sunshine. All right, this is one of my favorite verses that I just discovered as I was studying about forgiveness. This one. Here's how to get forgiveness. Repent. Then, and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out. Wiped out like the glitter. Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Oh my gosh, this is so for real. Not only do you get forgiven and you get to let go, but you get refreshing. Like a great shower. Some of us are trying to not wash our hair every day. I'm terrible at that. This is a new thing that I didn't know growing up. You're supposed to not wash your hair every day. So that means that the day you do wash your hair is like the best day of the week because you're like, oh my gosh, this shower is amazing. And you can feel the dirt coming off and you can just feel clean. That's forgiveness. That's what happens. And how do you do it? Repent. Repent means you turn around from your sin and you turn to God. That's it. That's all you have to do. Leviticus, there's this thing called the sin offering. Sam, do you see the slide? You can't read it. This is what to do if you want to repent in Leviticus before there was Jesus. It literally says, you can't read it. I made it so you can't read it. It's two solid chapters where it's like, okay, you go to the priest and you present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He lays his hand on the head. He takes the entrails. He takes the fat from the kidney. He takes the fat from the liver. He burns it all. It's no, I don't want to do any of that. No, thank you. I would always be out standing at the altar trying to burn crap up because I was sinful. All we have to do is what? What's the word? Repent. And what does repent mean? It means turn from the sin. That's it. Okay, I went way over, so here, let's stop. But do you hear what I'm saying? Forgiveness, it's great. We have the power to forgive and to let go, even if we feel like we don't. And Jeff and I are here to listen if you just want to process that. We just want the refreshing that comes from God. So, Jeff, why don't you come up here? We're going to take communion. Here's how we're going to do this. You guys get to come up, and you get to take Carmen's homemade bread, which is delicious, and you get to take a cup. And while you're doing that, we want you to take it back to your table, and we're going to take it all together, and I'll make it quick, I promise. But I want you to think about the person that you cannot forgive. And I want you to just come up here, and when you take your bread and your cup, leave that person at the table. Say, Lord, I give you this person. And then let's just be praying about forgiveness this week and see what we can do, okay? So let me pray and you guys can come up. Lord, I thank you so much for the joy and the power that comes with forgiveness. And I pray that you would help to speak to each of us this week if there are people that we have to face or forgive, or if we have to be forgiven for things in our own lives. Lord, I ask that today you would change us. In Jesus' name, amen.